Bezos Hashem Yisbarach, today's daf is Sadi Chesim Mesecha Shabbos. I'm Zocha to learn this with you in Tavshin Pei, making up the dapim that I wasn't Zocha to learn with the Chevra 7.5 years ago. That's the beauty of the daf Yomi. Our daf is going to discuss the halachos of throwing through a Rishus HaYachid, throwing from one Rishus HaRabim into another Rishus HaRabim, traversing through the Rishus HaYachid. The Gemara is also going to discuss a Rishus HaRabim that is different than an average Rishus HaRabim because it is covered. That's going to lead the Gemara to a discussion of exactly how things were carried in the Mishkan, how the Krushim were structured, and that's going to lead us in Amud Beis to discuss many parts of the structure of the Mishkan itself. The Gemara begins on Sadi Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, Zerk Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid Be'emtza. A person throws from one point in Rishus HaRabim to another, but there is a Rishus HaYachid in between. Dalet Amos, if there the Rishus HaRabim is Dalet Amos long, Chayiv. So then in such a case, he's Chayiv because it traversed four Amos in the Rishus HaRabim. Pachos Me'arba Amos Potter. But if it's less than four Amos, in order to be Chayiv for Mavir, it needs to traverse four Amos. The object needs to traverse four Amos. Just like if you walk in the Rishus HaRabim, you're not Chayiv if you're holding an object, unless you traversed four Amos. So too over here. If the object didn't traverse four Amos in a Rishus HaRabim, and it was just traversing in the Rishus HaYachid, and the only amount of Rishus HaRabim is less than four, he's going to be Potter. Now the Gemara immediately points out that there isn't a Chiyuv over here of Hotsa'a, that this fellow through from the Rishus HaRabim, it went through Rishus HaYachid and back out to Rishus HaRabim. So when it went out from the Rishus HaYachid into the Rishus HaRabim, that should be considered Hotzah. And the Gemara says, my kamashlan, top line, ha kamashlan, the chiddush over here is the following, Rishuyos Mitzdarfos, that we consider that the Rishus HaRabim is considered one Rishus HaRabim, that if it went four Amos within the Rishus HaRabim, that once one part of the Rishus HaRabim, before it met the Rishus HaYachid, let's say it traversed two Amos, and then it went through the Rishus HaYachid, and then it went out another two Amos on the other side of the Rishus HaRabim, then you combine those Rishuyos, and you say it traversed four Amos in the Rishus HaRabim. That's Hanacha number one, to say you're going to be Chayiv, and the other Hanacha is to say that you're not going to be Chayiv for resting in terms of Hotza, when it rested, went through the Rishus HaYachid, consider as if it rested in the Rishus HaYachid, then went out to Rishus HaRabim to be Chayiv for Hotza. Udelo Amrina Kluta K'mishu Unchadami. And we see also that you don't say that when it passed through, it's considered as if it rested. The Gemara continues, three lines on top, Amar Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Hamavir Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim Mikora Potter. If it's a covered area in the Rishus HaRabim, then it's going to be Potter. Why? Lefisha Eina Doyme L'Digle Midbar. We have a basic Yisod, as we saw in yesterday's daf, we learn out from the carrying of the B'nai Kahas when it comes to carrying in a Rishus HaRabim, and many halachas that we learn for Hotza, Hachnasa, etc., as our Mishnah alluded to in the beginning of the Perek, are learned from the Midbar. And in the Midbar, the area was open. It wasn't covered. And therefore, one is not going to be chayiv. Asks the Gemara, but wait a second. Was the entire area in the Rishus HaRabim really uncovered? V'ha'agolos the Mikoros Havim. The wagons of the Mishkan that transported the Krushim were covered. Rashi explains, the Mikoros Havim, B'Krushim Asdur Nalein, Rachvan L'Orech HaGola, V'Archan L'Rachvan Al Rosh Defanoseh. The Gemara assumes, Rashi says, that the krushim of the Mishkan were lined from one wagon to the next. And therefore, we have an instance where it's covered. And more than that, says the Gemara, seven lines in the top. We say that underneath the agolos, in other words, underneath these krushim, this covered area, it's considered Rishus HaRabim? Question mark. So we see that the area was covered. Says the Gemara, ki ka'amar Rav. When did Rav say this, that it's considered Rishus HaRabim? bidrasa, in those places that there was space between the krashim. In other words, the area that was covered is not going to be considered Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara was only talking about the gaps between the krashim. That's what is going to be considered the open area. Drasa being the open area. Says the Gemara, is that really so? Michti, orcha da agola kama havoy. Let's make a cheshbon. The length of the wagons, what was its length? Chamesh amin. It was 5 amis. Pusya de karish kama havoy. What was the rochev, what was the width of every karish? Amsu palga. It was an amma and a half. Kama mosiv, and how many krashim sat on the wagon? Tlasa. There were 3 that were sitting there. Pashla palga damsa. So all you have of space is a half amma. If you cheshbon how much room there was, so when you have the krashim that are sitting, so if each one is taking 1.5 amos, the krashim, then there's going to be between each amma a quarter of, between each keresh a quarter of a place. And that's going to leave us with 2 1-quarters, which is a half. So if that's so, so then there isn't a lot of room between the krashim. Kishade leimar beine uveini. When we cheshbon the space between them, kilavadami, it should be considered as if it is closed. And the reason it's going to be considered closed is that a quarter of an amma is 2 tvachim. And of course, we learned many times, as well as on yesterday's daf, that if it's less than 3 tvachim, it's considered lavud and closed. If that's so, then the agala was covered by the krashim, and one is chayiv under the agala, even though it's an area that's covered. So how could Rav have said that the rishus harabim that is covered, one is pater on? The Gemara answers, Mi savrit karashim apusayu avimanechluhu, who says that the krashim were resting on their width, which was 1.5 amos, maybe achuda manechluhu. They were resting on their thinner side. In other words, the side that did not have the open rings, Rashi says, for where they put the bria chatichon, the supporting beam, the supporting rod that ran through the krashim. And if you revealed that, then that was a width. But rather, it was on the narrow side, which was only a amma, and therefore you have more room. So let's do a cheshbon. As far as that's concerned, says Gemara, sof, sumcha de karish kamahav. Okay, so it's on the narrow side. How much was that? Amsa. So kamahav amosiv. So then, if you do a cheshbon of how many krashim you're going to put on a wagon that we mentioned before is 5 amos, how, with a keresh that's going to be an amma, so pashal, so you would put arba, you would put 4. So pashal amsa, that means you have an amma left. So you have an amma left, divided that over the wagon of 5. So then what's going to emerge is you have 3 spaces between the 4 rows of krashim, each one a third of an amma, which is 2 tvachim. So then kilavadami, you would still be able to argue that there's love and it should be closed, and therefore we see that you're chayiv on an area below the krashim in the Rosh Hashanah that's considered covered. So Gemara says, well, let's analyze. Hanich l'man amr krashim l'matan ovyim abba milmalon kolin v'holchin ad etzba ke'etzba shapir. If we go according to a different opinion, that as the krashim moved up higher, they thinned out. They covered the necessary area, but their thickness began to thin. So then in such a case, if you say that they thinned, then we're going to be able to have an area under which the top of the krashim that had begun to thin out, an area where there is no lavud. Hanich l'madom l'matan ovyin amma, that on the bottom it was an amma's, and therefore underneath that area that would be considered covered, you wouldn't be chayiv. But milmalon kolin v'holchin, but as it went up, it began to get thinner, ke'etzba, like as thin as a finger. So then, shapir, then under that area there is no lavud, because between each keresh there was a space of more than 3 tvachim, there is no lavud. And then that will be the makar that you're going to be chayiv under the keresh. Elamanda Amar, kishem shel matanov yinama kachmil malanov yinama. But according to the opinion that says that the thickness remained, ma'ikal meimer, what are you going to answer? Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana answered, ba'at be'ei. There are different pshatim in the Gemara. Rashi on Amud Beis in Velinir, two lines from the top, learns that atboi is similar to something in Menachos, like a binder that has, it was a piece of wood. In those days, a binder was a piece of wood that had a slit inside, and papers were put inside, and there was no space, of course, between the papers to hold them tightly together. So Gemara is answering, ba'atboi means that the krushim were piled up on each other, just like the papers that are piled inside the atboi. They were piled as well. And therefore, what's going to happen is we're now going to have space, more space, in the agala. Because what's going to happen is if you have three krushim that are top of each other on one end of the agala, and then three krushim on the other end, then in such a case, you're going to have more than, you'll have two piles of krushim on either side of the agala, and more than an amma between them to be able to have more than the shear of lavud, and therefore under that area would be a place of Rishus HaRab. The Gemara clarifies, atboi heichem manachlu. Exactly where were these two piles standing? Agba da agola, on top of the agola. Agola gufa mikaroi have it. But now we have a new question, and that is, but the agola itself was covered. In other words, there was a floor underneath the area of where the krushim were sitting. Think about a regular wagon. The krushim are sitting on top of the wagon. Most wagons have a floor underneath. Amr Shmuel, Shmuel says, no. On top of Amud Beis, b'yaseidos, these agalos did not have a floor underneath. All they had were rods. In other words, there was a lot of space, and it wasn't an entirely floored agala. Things that were on top of Tzadik Chesam Beis. Tana Rabbanim. Krashim milmatan ovyan aban, umemalan kolin v'holchim. Now we begin to discuss the makeup of the krashim machlokas that we had previously. We had a shita that said that it starts from the bottom as being an amma wide, and it's kolin v'holchim ad ke'etzba, and it goes up to a finger's width. Shenemar, where does this opinion come from? That says in regards to the krashim, yu tamim al rosho, that it's going to be tamim. It's going to have something complete on its top. Now, what exactly does this word tamim mean? The word tam could have many meanings. Yaakov ish tam yoshev olam. There are even different opinions there. What was the word tam mean? So here the Gemara says, la'alonu emar, in Yoshua it says, tamu nichrusu. That refers to destruction. The pasuk in Yoshua is describing the splitting of the water, the water stopping. Tamu v'nichrusu, that means to end. So that also is referring to an end. That there, it came to an end. The krushim came to an end. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, k'shem shel matan ovyan amma, kach m'malan ovyan amma. He understands it differently. Shenemar, the pasuk says, yachtov. The pasuk in regards to the krushim starts off, v'yuso amim l'mata, v'yachtov yusam mal rosho. Yachtov, connotating that it was the same thing. It was all Yachtov being uniform. The same thing. I think Mer says, Voksiv Tamim. What is Rabbi Nechemya going to say? Doesn't the pasuk say that it ended? Ahu, that's coming to tell us, delay say Shleimim, that you have to bring krushim that are complete, Velolesi Dinsera, and not bring a Keresh that is broken. So that would be another understanding of tam. Tam being complete. As we pointed out, there are different ways of understanding. The Gemara asks on Rabbi Yehuda, v'idach nami, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to say, haksiv yachtov, that it says that it's yachtov. Yachtov seems to be that's uniform. Rabbi Yehuda is going to answer, ahu delo lishalch funihu mehadadi. That is coming to tell us that you shouldn't put the krushim one ahead and one behind. Lishlof means to pull from behind. So a similar word, l'shachu finu, means to be in disorder. In other words, the krushim have to be neatly standing with each other. Says the Gemara, according to the Mandam, it says the krushim hamishkan were halchu v'nasim dakim bishlem l'mandam k'shem shulamatan of yinama kach malin of yinama, that its size was an ama from the beginning to the end. Haynu d'chsivu liarkasei hamishkan yama tasu shisha krushim shnei krushim tasu l'mekutzos. So the pasuk says da'asi pusya dahani, that the place in which the width is the same as the thickness, so then in such a case, it's possible that in the corners they could fill each other. Da'asu pusya dahani, that the rochav of the krushim in the corners, memalu sumcha dahani, it fills up the space in between. Elamanda mishlamatan of yin amo, that those who say that the bottom was an amo. Umilmalan kolvochaketz, bahai ayel vahai nafik. So then what's going to appear is if that one of the krushim is going in one direction, the other direction won't close the corner. Says the Gemara, deshafiluhu, that what happened was that they coordinated the slope, kiturim, like mountains. Mountains have slopes on either side, and they coordinated the slope of the northern and the southern krushim, that they would bend in towards each other and close in that way on top. The Gemara continues, the pasuk says in regards to the support, the walls were held together by a briach hatichon, and that means a long rod that ran through tabos, the inner of the krushim, and thereby strengthened the wall, strengthened its standing. V'abriach hatichon b'socha krushim, the pasuk concludes, mavriach min ha-katz al ha-katz, tana b'neis ha-yomed, it was put inside the krushim with a miracle, in a sense that after all three walls were put up, then the briach was put inside. Now, you could put the briach straight in one wall, but that it turns on a 90-degree angle, that's a miracle. There is no way that to put them all up, that's where the miracle started. They were all put up, and then the briach put inside, that is a miracle. The Gemara now discusses a nafgamina, which comes out from the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemia about the width of the krushin. The pasuk says, "Ves hamishkan tases yirias oirech hayriachas shmoy nevesrim ba'amma shdei arkayu lefusya de mishkan." We place the length of the rios according to the width of the mishkan. Kama havin? What was the length of the rios? Esrim mismani. It was 28. Dal asar leigra. You need to take away 10 amos for the roof. In other words, the urea was actually having 10 of its amos on the top, but as we said, lepusio de mishkan, that the length fell over the width of the mishkan, pashalu teisha lahai gisa, v'teisha lahai gisa, and you have 9 amos of the urias on the northern side, and another 9 on the southern side. L'Reb Yehuda. Now, how does this fit in according to the Shitas? According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the krushim became thinner, megalia amma da adonim. So then, in such a case, there was an amma of adonim that were revealed from the bottom. Why? Because according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, if the width of the keresh was only an etzba above, so then there was less urios that need to sit on top of the keresh. The keresh was a lot thinner. And therefore, you saved over there some space, and therefore it's going to go all the way down. The 9 amos are going to go all the way down to the adonim, because none of the space on top needs to be on the thickness of the keresh, because it had only an etzba worth of thickness. But the Reb Nechemya says that the krush, that also lemala, the krushim had the thickness of an amma, megalya amma de krushim, that not only did the urios not go all the way to the ground and reveal the adonim, but it also had an amma that it showed of the krushim, because there was that tefach above. The Gemara now discusses another machlokis in their nafkamina in terms of how the western wall of the Mishkan was covered. Shadi pusay l'ark in the Mishkan, the width of the urios was set according to the length of the Mishkan. Kama havin, what was the length of the urios? Arbon, the length of the urios were 40 amos. Okay. Dal tlasan l'igra. So we need, in covering the length of the Mishkan, you need 30 amos to cover the halal, the space of the Mishkan. Pashul eser. So you're left with 10 amos. That's extra. So only Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so then in such a case, Mikasya amad adonim. It would cover even the ama of the adonim. Since the krashim weren't very large, so all the eser amos were used to cover the Mishkan, so then even cover the adonim. The Reb Nechemya, Megala ama da adonim. But according to Reb Nechemya, it would cover an ama of the yadonim, of the adonim. Now the Gemara discusses a parallel issue in regards to the urios of the ezin that were on the Mishkan. Pasuk says, "Vasi urios ezin la'oil oirich ha'yuria achas sholish ba'ama." Shadir kailu pusiyad the Mishkan. They placed the length of the urios according to the width of the Mishkan. Kamahavya. What was the length of the urios ezin tlasin? It was 30. Dal esel igra. So if we're talking about the width of the Mishkan, that's 10. So pashul esel ha'gis v'esel ha'gis, you have 10 for either side. Again, li Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, who says that the thickness of the krashim was only an etzba mikasya amad adonim. So then, in such a case, it goes all the way down for the keresh, and it covers the 10 of the keresh, but the adonim aren't revealed. But li Rebbe Nechemya, but according to Rebbe Nechemya, who says that the amad adonim are covered, because it was the krashim were 10 with adonim. But li Rebbe Nechemya, according to Rebbe Nechemya, who holds that there was a thickness above of a tefach, so then megalia amad adonim, a thickness of an amma, then it would reveal the amma of the adonim. Tanya nami hachi, we learned in a braisa as well, that corroborates this idea. Va'amma mizeh ba'odef. Pasuk says that there was an amma on either side that's left over, but Ba'arich ha'yirias will continue the pasuk, ha'oyel yiyah saruach al tzidei ha'mishkan mizeh mizeh l'chasoysay. So that's exactly what we're talking about over here, the leftover urea that covered the krashim. So we have a machlokis l'chasosa. What is it covering? L'chasos amo shel adonim, the Rebbe Yehuda. According to Rebbe Yehuda, it's covering even the adonim. In other words, there's enough urios going all the way down to cover even that done. Rebbe Chemi Arm lechasis amashol krashim. Rebbe Chemi holds it only covered the krashim, but the adonim remained revealed. Shadi pusayu. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the covering of the kosel hamaravi. And remember, just like we did before, we discussed the two sides, and then we went to the side ma'arav. So too over here, we're going to do that as well in terms of the urios. So Shadi Pusai Lark in the Mishkan. If the Rochav, the width of the Urios was 11. Kamahavya. How much was the measurement of the width of these Urios? There were 11 Urios. What was the width of that Urios? Arba in Va'arba. It was 44 Amos. Da'at Tlasin Le'igra. So you need, as we calculated last time, that the roof itself of the Heichal of the Mishkan is 30 Amos. Pashalu Arba Sri. So you have 44 minus 30, leaves you 14. Dal Tarti the Kafla. So you take 2 Amos for the doubling of the Chatziriya. Dichsiv v'chafalta sayriya hashishis el mul pnei ha'oel. That is referring to the Chatziriya that fell in front of the Pesach HaMishkan on the Ruach Mizrachi. The entrance, of course, the Mishkan was from the eastern side. So what fell down was 2 Amos worth by the entrance. So Pashalu Tartisri, that leaves us with 12. So now we're going to need to Cheshbon, how much is on the western side. So Bishlem Le Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, who holds that the Krashim were thinner on the top. So then that works nicely, that you still have a chatziya yiriya that is able to fall on the Mairiv side. And how much space do you have? If you're not taking up any space with the krashim, so we said you have 12 left over, so then if you have 12 left over, then the way it's going to work is you're going to be able to have another 2 that's falling on the ground. 10 for the height and 2 to the ground. Ela Reb Nechemya, but according to Reb Nechemya, who says that the Krushim have a width of an Amma above, so then what does the Pasuk mean? My Tisrach. What does it mean that it's going to drag on the ground? You're not going to have two Ammas. You're going to only have one Amma. The Pasuk didn't say that it was simply going to drag on the ground. The Pasuk said it was equal to a Chatzi Yiriya. And you remember, we just calculated that the Chatzi Yiriya was, that the size of the Yiriya was, 4 Amos, because there were 11 Yiriyos that spanned 44 Amos. So the Pasuk, when it says Chatzi Yiriya, doesn't work according to Rebbe Nechemya. The Gemara answers, Tisrach mechavrosel, enochanami. It doesn't mean that it is a half a Yiriya, but rather what it meant was as follows, that there's one part of the Yiriya that's going to cover the Adonim, that half of that, the half of the half. In other words, the Chetzi Yiriya, part of it, covers the Adonim. And then there's another part that's Tisrach Mechavarsel. It doesn't mean that Tisrach Mechavarsel is talking about everything on the ground. Tisrach Mechavarsel means the extra half of a Yiriya, part of it's coming the Adonim, part of it's covering the ground. The Gemara concludes our daf, Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, Lama Mishkan Doimet. What is the Mishkan like? Le'isha Shemaleches Bashuk V'shipulea Mahalchin Achareha. That she has a little bit of her skirt that goes on the ground, that seemed to have been a style in those days. That is what the Mishkan is like. Adding, it would seem, to a certain level of tzniyus, particularly behind the Kodshei Kodashim. This Be'ezras Hashem concludes Daf Tzadiches in Maseches Shabbos. I hope to have time to record before Shabbos Kodesh. We're making an early Shabbos. The halachos of gluing. How is halacha viewed in regards to gluing? That comes up in regards to the discussion of the krushim that were separated. We learned that the halacha is that keresh that's separated is possible to be used as a keresh. You needed the keresh to be tamin. And the question is, what happens if the keresh would be attached by glue? What would our sugya say? And that will come up in halacha. What is the efficacy of using glue to attach items? Are they considered attached al pi halacha if glue is being used? This b'siyata d'shmaya concludes Daf Tzadiches in Maseches Shabbos.